Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Of God's Word. I want to read one verse and then I'll pray and you can be seated. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Look at the latter portion. "For out of it are the," and I'm interested in these last three words, "are the issues of life." And I want to preach on the issues of life this morning with the help of the Lord. Father, you know the need of this service. Father, I thank you, Lord, so much for, Lord, a church full this morning. I thank you, God, for blessing us the way that you are. Here at Amazing Grace, God, we stand undeserving of that. But God, we sure are grateful. Lord, it's nothing that I've done. It's nothing that the people's done, but it's what you have done. And we say thank you for that. I pray, God, that as we look into your word this morning, God, that you would help us, Father, Lord, to preach with an anointing on us today, Father. And may he, the Holy Spirit, God, speak through us today. God, I've prayed many times and asked you, Lord, to help us to get it to the ear of the people. But God, we know that it'll take you to get it to the heart of the people this morning. God, no doubt if we was to take time to talk to each and every individual this morning, God, there is a lot of issues in this service today. So God, I pray, Lord, that you would take one message, Father, and turn it into 150 or 160 this morning to help each individual. Lord, our most sincere prayer would be that if there's one here lost, God, that they would come to know you as their Savior today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. And I want to preach to you just a little while this morning on the issues of life. This week, Leslie and I was getting ready. I don't even remember where we was getting ready to go, but we was talking about several different things. And Miss Leslie made this statement. She said, "Well," she said, "that individual sure has some issues, don't they?" And I responded back to her, "You're exactly right." I said, "But do we not all have some issues?" Now, usually that conversation is right the opposite. Usually I'm going, "Man, I'm going to tell you what, them people crazy right there, and they need a double portion of Jesus. They got some major issues." And usually it's Miss Leslie going, "Now, honey, everybody's got issues in their life." But the truth of the matter is this: we all have issues. Our life is made up of issues. We have good days, we have bad days. We have days that we're on top of the mountain, and we have days that we're in the deepest valleys. We have days that we're sailing on the sea of life and the sun is shining. And we have days when the thunder is crashing and the lightning is flashing. And we think our boat on the sea of life is going down for the last time. We have issues. You know what? A lot of times we tend to look at everybody else's issues. And we say, "Well, there's Miss Melba, and boy, Miss Melba's got an issue with this. And there's Brother Randy, and Brother Randy, he's got some big issues." We tend to look at everybody else's issues, and in doing that, we quote-unquote judge them, or we profile them. When in all honesty, every one of us sitting here today has issues. We have issues today. I want to encourage you this morning as we walk down through the Word of God a little bit, not to think about everybody else's issues, but to ask God to help you with your issues today. So many times when I'm listening to a preacher, and I try my best to listen to preaching every week, so many times when I'm listening to that preacher, Miss Shannon, I'll immediately think about, "Well, you know what? If Leslie could hear this, or if Robert could hear this, or if Brother Brian could hear this," this morning, let's don't think about everybody else. If you could this morning, I would ask you to put up a blinder on both sides of you and deafen your ears to both sides of you and allow God and ask God to speak to your heart about your issues today. And I ask Him to speak to me about my issues. I want to show you three different issues that people had in the Word of God and see if we can make a practical application out of it. Let's take our Bibles, and I want you to go with me today. Matthew chapter number 9. I know I don't normally ever do this. I preach out of one passage of Scripture. But man, I'm telling you, the Lord helped me with some things on this week. Matthew chapter number 9. I want to read you a little bit right here out of Matthew chapter number 9. In Matthew chapter number 9, we'll begin looking and the Bible picks up in verse number 18, and the Bible says this: while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with a, here it is, an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. If we would take the time to read on, we'll find out that after she touches the hem of Jesus' garment, Jesus says, who hath touched me? For I feel that virtue is gone out of me. And she ends up saying that it's her, and Jesus heals her with this issue of blood. So number one this morning, I want to look at a lady that had an issue of blood today. An issue of blood today. Now, I want you to understand this with me. We all have something in common this morning, and that is this right here. We have blood flowing through our veins. You say, preacher, I don't have blood flowing through my veins. Well, I respectfully disagree with you. If you're sitting here today, you've got blood flowing through your veins. And here's the truth of the matter. All of our bloodline is the same. All of us in here today has the same bloodline. Me and Brother Mark was working on Friday night out in the fellowship hall, changing the lights out to LEDs, and we began to talk about godly things. We began to talk about hunting, and we was talking about turkey season, and we began to talk about when I used to bear hunt, and I hog hunted a lot, and I began to talk to him about a dog that was called a Jagged Terrier that we used to use a lot. There was a small dog. They're not big at all. But man, I'm telling you, boy, they had the grit. I hope you understand what I'm saying right there. They wouldn't back down from nothing. And here's what I said. It's just in their blood. It's the way that they are bred. That's the way that they do. Let me tell you the reason you do the things you do sometimes, because it's in your bloodline. It's in your bloodline. You see, if we was to take time this morning and walk all the way back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, when the world was created and man was created, and in Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve was created, and from Adam and Eve became all of mankind today. Every one of us sitting in this room today, if we traced our family tree back far enough, guess what? We're family. Are you with me this morning? It all goes back to Adam and Eve. You know what Adam done and Eve done in the Garden of Eden? You know the story, don't you? They sinned for the first time. Matter of fact, Romans 5 and 6 talks about, for by one man sin entered into the world, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And because of his bloodline being a polluted and a corrupted bloodline, every one of us sitting in this room today now has an issue of blood. We have an issue of blood. Our fathers from the past brought sin upon us. I thought about this. How many times do you, and stay with me right here, but how many times do you see somebody get in trouble, and whenever you look at their family tree, if you want to say it that way, that's all that's ever been known in their bloodline. And we even make this statement, that's all they know, it's bred into them. Have we not made that statement? Can I say something to you this morning? You're right. That is all they know because it has been bred into them. But it's also all you know because it's been bred into you. You remember Adam and Eve had some kids. Y'all remember that, don't you? And do you remember their first two's name? Cain and who? Abel. And you remember the story that God told them to bring a sacrifice. And when they brought that sacrifice, many of you know that Cain brought a sacrifice of his own. But Abel brought a sacrifice that was pleasing to the Lord. And because of that, God accepted Abel's sacrifice. But he did not accept Cain's sacrifice. And Cain got mad and killed his brother. With a rock. So are we going to outlaw rocks today? Now I'm moving, okay? I'm not going to chase that rabbit. I was teaching one of my girls gun safety yesterday because she wants to hunt and she's 9 years old. And I laid the gun down and I said, get up and shoot me. And you know what? It didn't. And I told her, I said, a gun has never killed nobody. It's the person holding the gun that kills everybody. Now I'm moving on past that, all right? I just had to get that off my chest real quick. But what happened? God was pleased with one sacrifice, and he wasn't pleased with the other sacrifice. You see, somebody in that bloodline broke the trend that was bred into them. And because of that, Abel was pleasing to God and Cain was not pleasing to God. You see, if you was to look at my bloodline and you go back to my dad, yes, my dad was a preacher. Yes, my grandfather was a preacher. But if you go back far enough in my bloodline, you know what? You'll find somebody that was wicked and vile and nobody in their family ever served God or done anything for God. But one day they decided to quit being Cain and start being Abel, and they broke the trend of their blood. See, she had an issue of blood. The problem with society today is we all have an issue of blood. David said that he was shapen in iniquity, that he was born in that. We're all born sinners. But watch this, she realized that she had an issue. And once she realized she had an issue, you know what she done? She heard about a man that was passing by her way by the name of Jesus. And you know what she done? She made her way to where Jesus was at and reached out and got a hold of the hem inside the hem. Amen. Oh yes, she touched Jesus that day. And you know what the Bible said? Immediately it dried up. In other words, she had an issue of blood. It had been there 12 years. Our issue of blood's been here our whole life. But the only answer to our issue is Christ. Amen. I am not against, please hear me out. Don't judge me off my first statement. I am not against rehabilitation. I'm not against if someone has an addiction that they go get help with it. I am not against that. I am all for that. But hear me and hear me well. The ultimate rehabilitation is a trip to Jesus. And if you'll get him in your life, if you will allow him to take your polluted blood and allow him to wash that in his pure blood, I promise you a lot of your issues will be taken care of. Number one, there was a lady that had an issue of blood. Number two this morning, go with me to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. I know I don't preach like this all the time, but stay with me. Mark chapter number 10. I want to look at a story right here real quick. It's 1039 in Alabama. Look at this story right here real quick. Mark chapter number 10. The Bible said this in verse number 46. And there came to Jericho, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timnos, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called of the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he cast it away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I see a woman that had an issue of blood, but I see a man that has an issue of blindness right here. He was blind, he could not see. I see a man that has an issue of blindness. You ever heard this statement? Well, you just don't see things the way I see it. My daddy has told me that before, and then he had a way of adjusting my vision. It usually involved the leather or whatever he could get his hand on. Can anybody else give me a witness right there? Amen. He would say, son, you just don't see things the way that I see it. Every once in a while I've made that statement to my children, you just don't see things the way that I see it. You know what? Today, we as the blood-bought crowd, if you want to put it that way, we believe that this book right here is the final authority. Amen. We by faith trust that Jesus died for our sins. We put our faith in him. Hey, look, if I die and go to hell, the Bible's a lie. And Jesus lied to us when he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But I'm not going to die and go to hell. We base our life. I base the way I raise my children off of this book right here. I base it, matter of fact, whenever I get on to my children sometimes, there's times when I don't say exactly what I want to say. You say, why? Because the Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. But you know what I will say? Why don't you read such and such book? Here's the chapter and the verse. You know what I'm doing in that? I'm saying, here's what the scripture says about it, Brother Josh. Here's what the Bible says. We base our life off of this book. But there's a lot of people today that has an issue of blindness. They just don't see things the way that we see them. You know what happens a lot of times? Here's what happens a lot of times. We get upset about that. We don't understand why they're that way. I don't know what the temperature is out there, but it is hot up here. We don't understand why they're like that. Here's the reason they're like that. Here's the reason that people does not see the way that we see sometimes. It's because, number one, they got an issue of blood. And number two, they got an issue of blindness. They just can't see how good God is. They just can't see it. He had an issue of blindness. You know what the world is full of today? The world is full of searching people. They're searching for something. They're looking for true happiness. They're looking for true joy. They're looking for that when the saved goes through the storm and they have a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory and a peace that passeth all understanding. They don't understand why on our worst day we can still figure out how to put a smile on our face sometimes and say, I don't understand it, but the Lord's still good to me. They are searching for that. You know what? Somewhere this morning, and even now, somebody's waking up. They're sick as a dog. They're hugging John, puking their lungs out. Are you with me? They've got a headache. They're filling their veins full of stuff. They're filling their mouth full of prescription drugs. And you know what they're doing? They're searching. Where's happiness at? Where's joy at? Here's the problem. 2 Peter said it this way. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And then he goes on to say this, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you neither shall be barren nor unfruitful in the things of God. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. You see, Barnabas had an issue of blindness. He really didn't see things the way that we see them. And a lot of this world today really don't see things the way that we see them. Why in the world, on opening day of turkey season, would you take and go all the way to Ashburn and set up for a youth meeting? Well, because I wasn't thinking when I planned that date. Why would we do that? Why in the world have we worked with motels the past 2 weeks and got 75 motel rooms booked on University Parkway and bringing over 200 young people into a youth camp? Why in the world would we do that? Why in the world would I pray with my children every night? Why in the world would I instill the doctrines of the Word of God in my children's mind? They just don't see things the way that we do. Had an issue of blindness. But you know what happened? This man with an issue of blindness come to the realization he couldn't see things the way everybody else did. And you know what he done? He done the same thing that lady that had the issue of blood done. He took off and he heard about a man named Jesus that was passing by. And you know what he said in the back of his mind? If I can just get to Jesus, oh, I've heard about what he's done for everybody else. If I can just get to him, I believe my issue will be taken care of. And you know what happened? He got to Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus took care of his issue. He couldn't fix it himself, but he knew Jesus could. Can I show you one more? There's an issue of blood. There was an issue of blindness. Why don't you take your Bible and go into John chapter number 11. John chapter number 11. I'm not going to take time to read the entire chapter. I would love to. I really would. I need to read all 57 verses to really understand what I'm fixing to tell you. But I've not eaten breakfast and I'm hungry. John chapter number 11. And you're not going to sit here that long. John chapter number 11. Mary and Martha. Well, let's just pick up verse number 1. Now the certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now when you continue reading this story, and you get all the way down into it, guess what happens to Lazarus? He dies. And after he dies, they bury him. I see an issue of blood. I see an issue of blindness. But I see an issue with a burial this morning. You see, they took this dead man and put him in the grave. They buried him that day. And I want to ask you this question this morning. What is that issue of burial in your life? Let me explain what I'm trying to get you to see. I'm not necessarily interested in Lazarus right here. I'm interested in Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha had an issue of blood and an issue of blindness, but Jesus had saved them. Can I preach it that way this morning? Jesus had changed their life.
And after Jesus changed their life, you know what Mary and Martha began to do? They began to serve the Lord, man. They began to live for God. They began to worship Him. They began to work for Him. Matter of fact, we read of them anointing His feet with oil. And man, they are serving God. Can I say it this way? They're going to church. They're going to Sunday school. They're going to Sunday morning. They're going to Sunday night. They're going to Wednesday night. If the ladies are working at the church, they're there. If there's something to be done, the pastor knows all he has to do is call Mary or Martha, and it'll be taken care of. If a Sunday school class needs to be filled in, Mary and Martha will be there. If somebody needs to stay in the nursery, Mary and Martha will be there. If somebody needs to clean the toilet, Mary and Martha will be there. If the men are working around the church and somebody needs to bring a meal, guess what? Mary and Martha is bringing the meal. Mary and Martha is doing. They're not just sitting. They are serving. They are, can I put it this way? They are in the center of God's will. With their whole heart, they're trying to serve God. And guess what happens? Their brother dies. He gets sick. They call for Jesus, the one that they've been worshiping, the one that they've been working for, the one that they've been laboring for. And guess what Jesus does? I'll be over there in a little while. He tarries. He does not just take off running to Mary and Martha. He tarries, and because of that, now Lazarus is dead. They have an issue in their life in the midst of serving God. Have you ever been just, man, God took care of your issue of blood? God gave you a blood transfusion and took your old nasty blood and washed it in His red blood and made your sins white as snow, man. You got saved, you had an issue of blindness, and God opened your eyes to the things of God now. And boy, you're in church. You're trying to serve God. You're trying to live for God. A little storm comes up on the horizon, and you pray and ask God to help, but it seems that God's nowhere around. And now it's not just a little storm, but now you're in the storm of your life. Man, their brother's dead. Their brother's dead. They had an issue. They had an issue. You know, sometimes our issues arise and we cry out for help. Now, I'll say something. When it's the issue of salvation and you cry out for help, God immediately runs to you. And God will save you immediately. But once we're saved, there's times that issues arise in our life. And we cry out for help and it seems, God, I'm right here. God, can you hear me? Where are you at? It's where Mary and Martha's at. But you know what ends up happening? Come start playing softly. Jesus ends up arriving on the scene. When He's 3 days late or 4 days late, He's still right on time.
Amen.
You see, our time and His time is not the same thing. He shows up on the scene. He cries with them. John 11:35, Jesus wept. Why did He cry? Because His heart was broken. Because He was human. That's why He cried. His friend was dead. Mary and Martha was in agony. They was in pain, if you want to put it that. They was in sorrow. Their brother's dead. Do you know what Jesus did? Jesus just sat down with them and cried a while. It's a real good day in my ministry when I learned from that right there. Jesus didn't go in and say, now if you'd have done this and if you'd have done this, here's what we need to do. Jesus just sat down and cried a while. They spend some time with people in this room. That's all I knew to do is just sit down and cry a while. I've stood with some of you and your loved ones passing on. I didn't know what to say. But you know what I could do? Man, I'm here. We're going to make it. It's all going to be all right. And just sit down and cry a while. That's what Jesus done. But after He did, He said, now where'd you put him at? Where'd you lay him at? And they said, well, he's just down the road here. They went down the road, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. You know what happened that day? That dead man got up out of that tomb and came forth. And they said, loose him and let him go. Here's the point that I want you to see. Out of the greatest storm in their life, God brought life. God brought life out of the greatest storm in their life. God may have just put you in a storm. I'm talking about an issue with burial, an issue with a storm. God may have just put you in this storm so he can bring life out of it. Lazarus wouldn't have been brought back to life if he hadn't have died. Here's something that all three of these stories have in common. And I'm done. Number one, they all had an issue. And you know what's something that all of us has in common here today? We got issues. Can I just be real honest with you? I got mad last night over an issue. I ain't got nothing to do with nobody in here, so remember, you got your box up right now. I did. I'll be real honest, Brother Lloyd. I lost sleep over it. And now I'm mad because I let it bother me to the point. Anybody else ever get like that? We got issues, man. We got issues. There's none of us in here as stable as you think we are. Every one of us in here has voices in our head. I didn't say a voice. I said voices, plural. They get to talking up there every once in a while. Don't you commit me. I promise you, I've said with enough people like that, Brother Brian, when I worked at the hospital, I know every one of the answers, and I'll be out of there within an hour. I'll preach tonight. Might be in a gown, but I'll preach. We got issues, man. We got issues. And our issues stem from our bloodline. They all had issues. But here's something else that all these stories have in common. Number two, they knew where to take their issues. They knew where to take them to. Blind Bartimaeus knew if he could get to Jesus, his issue could be taken care of. A woman with the issue of blood knew if she could just get to Jesus, her issue would be taken care of. Mary and Martha knew if they could just get Jesus to come, their issue would be taken care of. They all knew where to go to get help for their issue. Number three, they all went there. They all went there. Number four, their issues was taken care of. Boy, that's deep, isn't it? Their issues was taken care of. Here's our problem today. We try to fix our issues ourselves. I'm a fixer, man. Leslie will start talking every once in a while. And as soon as she starts talking, it's already running in my mind, Miss Shannon. Well, I'll do this, I'll do this, I'll do that. I'll bust that right in the mouth. You say, well, if you don't get upset over somebody mistreating your spouse or your children, you might. I don't understand. We don't see things the same way. Okay, you say, I thought Jesus changed you. He did, but every once in a while, the old man gets back up. So I immediately, Brother Lloyd, I began processing in my mind how to fix that issue. And I'll say something to Leslie and she'll go, I don't want you to fix it. I want you to listen. Well, why did you tell me if you don't want me to fix it? Because I just want you to listen. It's called communication. Communication is you tell me what's wrong, I go fix it. That's communicate. Don't you think, Brother Scotty? I'm a fixer. And when issues come up, I thought last night when this issue come up, I thought, I'll fix it, bless God. I don't give a rip who it makes mad. I'll fix it. I didn't, okay? And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not. Do you know what we have to do with our issues, church? We have to take it to the Lord. We got to quit trying to figure this thing out on our own. You're blind if you can't see that you can't figure it out on your own. You're reverting to your old blood. We have to take it to Him. You say, preacher, I'm searching so bad. I want something real. I want something true. I want happiness. I want joy. Hear me and hear me well. The storm may not cease, but there's a big difference when He gets in the storm with you, though. There's a peace that passeth all understanding, and it's found at the feet of Jesus. What's your issue this morning? What's your issue today? We all got issues. But in every one of these issues, if you'll just get to Jesus, He'll fix your issue. He'll do things for you nobody else can do. He'll do things for you a medication can't do. And I'm not against medication. I think it's given out too freely. And that's the reason we have the major drug pandemic and epidemic, and it's killing our county. Killing our county. Killing it. Killing it. And I'm not against it when it needs to be. But I'm going to tell you what will help you with a lot of your issues. Lord, I need You. God, it's not my mom, it's not my dad, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need You. His sight was restored. Issue of blood was dried up. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Death come out of their storm. If you'll get to Jesus, that storm you're in, life can be birthed out of your storm.